not sure that it's fair to compete against fish and toast this morning. But before I begin, a number of people asked me for a copy of my notes on what is the purpose of spiritual gifts. That was part one of our series on spiritual gifts. And I have some copies of my PowerPoint presentation with me today, and you're welcome to come and get one from me later. Alternatively, I'm happy to email my notes and or PowerPoint to anyone, or you could ask Jason or Cameron for copies and they will ensure you get one. Spiritual gifts, and before I start, I may add again that there are a number of good publications available on spiritual gifts, and if you want to glean further information on the spiritual gifts, as I said last week, I recommend a book written by John MacArthur Jr., and I would also recommend a book written by Charles Swindoll on the subject. The whole subject of spiritual gifts is vital to the healthy functioning of the local and worldwide church, and that is shown on our first slide, which Cameron's obviously finding some difficulty locating. Don't worry. If we can have anyone to look after us at this time, I'd recommend Cameron for you. But many Christians do not know what spiritual gifts are, what their purpose is, and how they can discover which gift God has given to them. What spiritual gifts are and what their purpose is, we answered 2 Sundays ago in part one of our series on spiritual gifts. Today we will address the third question: how can we discover which gift God has given us? However, before I do that, let me briefly recap on some of the basic principles that I outlined in the first message on spiritual gifts. Number one, a spiritual gift is a supernatural ability given to each believer by the Holy Spirit. Two, they are used for ministry to others in the church, to help members of the body of Christ, and for building up of the church, to extend the church witness and ministry into the world. Thirdly, spiritual gifts should be discovered, developed, and used freely and willingly to help the church be more intentional in its ministry. And fourthly, there are many different gifts identified in Scripture. The object is not to use the gift to preserve church en vogue, but to further the life of Jesus Christ in this place. So those were the basic principles we covered in our first talk on what is the purpose of the spiritual gifts. And the key lessons for each of us as believers that I sought to highlight were: one, believe that you have at least one gift. Everyone say that. Believe that you... No one becomes a believer without receiving one or more of God-given gifts. So believe that you're gifted and give thanks to God for your gift. Number two, realize that the Holy Spirit gave you your gifts. Everyone say that. Realize that the Holy Spirit gave you your gifts. Your spiritual gift is a trust from God that you must now manage effectively and account for ultimately. Number three, understand the purpose of your gifts. They are given in order to glorify God as He desires. They are designed to exalt Him, edify the church, and equip His people to do His work. Number four, desire to know and use your gift. Everyone say that one. Desire to know and use your gift. The gifts we possess differ. The Lord does not give us all the same abilities. If He did, then the body of Christ would be unable to function in a healthy, balanced way. Number five, recognize that it is an entrusted treasure. God has a ministry for every believer, and God requires faithfulness in a steward. And we are all stewards of the spiritual gifts He has given us. Number six, don't neglect it nor allow it to grow cold. The Bible is very clear that our spiritual gifts are not to be hoarded. So there were the lessons that I sought to apply from the talk that we had on our first part one of our in our series on spiritual gifts. Now, simply having a spiritual gift is awesome. Agree? But whether we use our gift is a matter of personal choice. There's a story about a wealthy man who was terminally ill. The doctor said, "There is only one thing that will save you, a brain transplant. It's still an experimental operation, and it's very expensive." The wealthy guy said, "Money is no object. Can you get me a brain?" The doctor said, "We have three available right now. The first one was from a professor at Massey University, but it will cost you $10,000. The guy said, "Don't worry, I can pay. What about the second brain?" The doctor said, "It was from a recently retired scientist. It will cost you $100,000. The man said, "I have the money, and I'd be a lot smarter too. But tell me about the third brain." The doctor said, "The third brain is from an Auckland Blues rugby, super rugby player. But it will set you back $1 million. Man said, $1 million? Why so much for this brain?" The doctor said, "It's never been used." Some Christians are like that rugby player. We have gifts that we have never used. We don't know what we can do because we've never tried. We've never stepped out in faith. We've never said, Lord, here I am. I am willing to do whatever I can for Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, 4:10 says this, God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. In light of the Holy Spirit's work in giving us spiritual gifts, it is important for every Christian to discover their spiritual gift, demonstrate it in ministry, and develop it to its fullest potential. Why? Because discovering your spiritual gift is God's invitation to participate in the powerful expression of the body of Christ. And each of us has a privilege and a responsibility to bring our contribution willingly to the rest of the body of Christ. And that's found in 1 Peter 4, verse 10. So, no observers allowed. Well, you may ask, when are you going to start tackling the subject? Let's start now. How do we discover which gifts we have? As I thought about this, I came up with a number of steps that a Christian can take to discover their spiritual giftedness. It will not surprise you that I have them all starting with the letter P to help you to remember. Primarily, it's for myself. The first step is prayer. Pray for guidance. Prayer is essential if you wish to become serious about discovering and using your gift to fulfill God's purpose. After all, one person who knows exactly how you're spiritually gifted is the gift giver himself, the Holy Spirit. You can ask God to show you how you are gifted in order to better use your spiritual gifts for his glory. Now, I know that you're all now starting to think, what's the next P? The second P is preparation. Learn about your gift. It is important to educate yourself to find out what the gifts are and what they look like in operation. What gifts would you like to see developed in your lives? And look at 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1 and 1 Timothy 3 verse 1. And as you do so, be open. Don't be too quick to zero in on one gift to the exclusion of another. And don't force yourself to fit into a certain gift if it doesn't appear to be the one given to you. Prayer, preparation, and thirdly, passion. Examine yourself. Look at how God has already been at work in your life. Review past accomplishments and present interests. What excites you? What gifts bring you the most joy in thinking about and in using them? And look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 17 to 18. Passion, you see, is not simply what you like or dislike. It is a motivating force that transforms your thinking into action. Prayer, preparation, passion, people. Seek confirmation. Do other Christians who know you recognize particular gifts within you? Ask for counsel of friends and family, and especially from people who seem to have the same gift. Do they see this gift in you? You might find some awful confirmation. Awesome confirmation, not awful. Awesome confirmation of your spiritual gifts. Or you might be surprised by ones you didn't know you had. Participation. Try out your gift. One of the best ways of discerning your spiritual gifts or gifts is to get involved in a variety of ministry experiences. As you explore the different ministry areas, you will soon discover if you are gifted for these ministries. So look for those ministries in which you feel the most fulfilled. Look for those ministries in which you seem to be the most effective. And look for those ministries in which others affirm your abilities. However, always keep in mind that you are using your gift to help other Christians, to bring others to Christ, and to glorify God. Proof. Finally, look for results. If you have accurately identified the spiritual gift, use of it will produce results. Then continue to work. Continue working to develop your gift, and the blessings will become apparent to all. If evaluation reveals that your service has been ineffective, then seek anew to find your gifts. There you have it. The how. 6 steps. How you can discover your spiritual gifts. But wait. There is another way. Many people begin determining their spiritual gifts, and that is through a spiritual gift inventory. A sort of test that helps a person think about potential gifts. I've called it profiling, to keep with my words starting with P. Profiling. Tests like these are useful because they make us consider which service activities connect best with our passion and abilities, or how God seems to use us the most in serving others. Ultimately, these inventories can provide an excellent reference point for realizing our spiritual gifts. Today, we have made available a questionnaire, Unwrapping Your Spiritual Gifts questionnaire, as a tool to help you to discover your spiritual gifts. The elders encourage you all to take one, and they're out there in the foyer, and to fill it in. Should your assessment results seem improbable or inconclusive to you, please do not hesitate to discuss it with one of the elders or pastors. I would add, however, although this questionnaire can help, there is only one way to determine your spiritual gifts for sure, using them. Now you may ask, how, suppose we do not exercise our spiritual gifts? Well, exercising our gifts is a matter of obedience. We have that in Romans 12, verse 6. Failure to exercise our gifts can adversely affect the body of Christ. Be on the next slide. Oh, sorry. No, you're right. My apologies, Cameron. Failure to exercise our gifts can adversely affect the body of Christ and the very glory of God. As I mentioned earlier, the only way for the body of Christ to experience vitality, health, and balance is by its members working for the benefit of all. Excuse me. Now, maybe you're afraid to use your gifts because you're afraid of failure. You're afraid you will mess up. You're afraid of what people might say about you. Well, remember this. Nothing you do out of love for Jesus Christ is a failure. Nothing you do out of love for Jesus Christ is a failure. He will give you the power you need. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And he gives you that strength at the time you need it. So offer yourself to God. Make a commitment to do whatever God asks of you and trust him to give you what you need for the task. And as I thought about this, you know, I thought there are at least two telltale characteristics of a healthy local church. Firstly, positive spontaneity. The health of a local church can be measured by the willingness of its members to get involved in ministry without the continuous prodding of its church leaders. Secondly, life-giving sacrifice. A vital community of believers exhibits an unhindered giving of themselves and their gifts without an inappropriate regard to personal costs. And exercising our spiritual gifts, we must expect to sacrifice personally in the service of the Lord. And you know what? The key to all the operation of the body is love. Love is evident in true spirituality, and it must be present for effective use of spiritual gifts. And do you know something? If we use our spiritual gifts as God intended, there would be no lack of resources in this local church. Think about that. No requests Sunday after Sunday in our newsletter for a playgroup supervisor or teachers for our kids' zone classes. Well, what about the application for us today? Number one, spiritual gifts are from God to every believer, not for themselves, but for the whole body of Christ and for his glory. Therefore, active participation in the body of Christ is expected from every believer. So, remove the towel from your waist and follow the example of Jesus in the world as you serve him and by serving others. Number two, if you are a believer in Christ, it is your responsibility as a faithful steward and a fellow laborer in the ministry to discover and develop your gifts. Your responsibility. Number three, unless your gifts are properly channeled and utilized, you will continually be disappointed and frustrated. However, if God is blessing, if you are seeing spiritual fruit from your efforts, you're probably on track. Number four, very important. You can only exercise your gifts effectively as you present yourself as a living sacrifice and submit to the Holy Spirit's transformation and sanctification of your life. Number five, support other members in the church in the use of their gifts by confirming them that you see good fruit from their efforts. Such feedback is important in the encouragement of one another and in the building up of the church. And number six, if you are not a believer, your greatest gift is still waiting for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we will not neglect your Holy Spirit or the gifts you have given us. Give us courage to use these gifts and the humility not to use them for our glory but for you and your glory. Help us to see the good work you have ready for us and embrace that work with that we may embrace that work with you, with joy and with a thankful and willing heart. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name.